Thank you, ladies. About a month ago, I was putting up a small decoration that I wanted to put up for the sermon. And in doing that, I hurt my back. And so I did what any typical male would do. Time will heal it. Didn't go to the doctor, didn't get it checked. And as a matter of fact, I thought, well, if it got hurt, the more I use it, it's going to get better. So I came to the work bees and I kept doing things. And last week, my lower back said, I'm going on strike. And I don't know where the lower back got a knife to. It sure felt like it was stabbing me all the time. And, lower backs have a way of humbling yourself. I mean, really humbling yourself. You know, when I can't even put my pants on, that's when I have to call my wife to put my socks on, you know, that's really humbling. There were certain things I didn't ask her to do, you know. I cried in pain through the whole thing, but. And then the other thing is that I called a chiropractor, and I've heard stories about chiropractors. But I had to go to one, and I did, and that's another interesting visit in itself. I knew what was going to happen, okay? And I could just hear it. And it's the same feeling, same idea when the dentist comes, you're lying down, he comes behind you, he has his hand back here, and he's smiling. And he looks at you, and I'm not looking at his face, I'm looking at his shoulder, because I know what he has back there. It's about this long. And he asks, how are you doing? I say, I was well until you showed up. And then he pulls that, and it looks, and he says, relax. Well, this is what the chiropractor told me. He has him lying down there with all kinds of different shape and with one of his legs on top of me, and he's, you know, moving my body back and forth, and he's saying, relax. Relax. So I've gone three times, and I'm feeling good. I want to thank Josh and Sarah, they were willing to just step up if I called them early this morning and said, I can't get up. So, thank you. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And we sometimes have to go through humbling experiences. And next time I'll maybe do better. I said I was going to stand here, didn't I? I better not move that much then. 2 weeks ago, we started a series on fasting because I felt there's a lot that we read and say about prayer, about praying. As a matter of fact, you know, 40 days is about 40 days of prayer. I wonder how many would have showed up, how many of us would have showed up if it was 40 days of fasting. Prayer sounds a little bit better. But you know what? The Bible says that prayer and fasting go together. And so I decided to bring a series on fasting. Why? How? When? I mean, do we still have to fast today? And 2 weeks ago we started, and I will just quickly, I was going to have the slides the keynote PowerPoint for those of you that know it more like PowerPoint. So we could review quickly what I had spoken about last week, but I found out that it's kind of hard to work with your laptop on your flat on your back. So I did not do that, and I really, really believe. I took a class back at Andrews. I really believe what they taught us. They said that if you listen to any presentation, whether it's a presentation, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a story, if you listen, you retain, I don't remember the percentages, but I'm just going to say, let's say you retain 30%. Okay? If you listen and you write, if you take notes, if you write it, you retain 60%. If you listen, if you write, and if you see, you retain about 75%. So as a pastor, I'm thinking, well, if I could get them to retain at least 75% by I'm speaking, some of you are taking notes. I hope you're taking notes. Or are you saying, this is a boring sermon? I really can't see what you're writing. But if you were able to listen, take notes, and to see something, that would be the best. But today you're just going to hear, and those of you that are taking notes, well, you hear and write and retain a little bit more. Next time I'll try to have the pictures here. But I started with the fact that scriptures have a lot to say about fasting. As a matter of fact, there's more teaching in the New Testament than confession and repentance. As a matter of fact, there's more teaching on fasting than on baptism and the Lord's Supper. So then we went on to say, to see some of the examples of Jesus, how he fasted. As a matter of fact, there's a way to fast that pleases God, and there is a way to fast that doesn't please God. And so we were going to talk a little bit about that. And one of the last things I said is that we were going to be examining Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. And we were going to consider what Jesus says about fasting, but not only fasting, the fasting that pleases God. And how many of us, in whatever we do, want to please God? Yeah, I want to do everything I do. I'd like to please God. Yeah. So the question we went into, because I told you we were going to begin by answering a few questions. The first question was, should Christians fast today? And then we went to see the example of Jesus. Jesus fasted for 40 days. He went out in the wilderness, and he fasted. His disciples, in Matthew 6, he says, when you fast. Jesus did not say, if you fast. So he was assuming that the disciples were going to be fasting after he left. Okay? So he said, when you fast. And then Jesus taught about the appropriate way of fasting, the one that brings good pleasure, the one that God approves of. That's the one that we are trying to find. So do we find any examples of fasting in the early church? Well, I'm just gonna mention the scripture. You may write it down. And if you have photographic memory, then don't write it down. Just remember it and bring it back whenever you want. That's a God-given gift, which I don't have. Acts 13, 1 through 3, the brothers and sisters in Antioch, they fasted. Why did they fast? Well, they fasted basically in their service of the Lord. In other words, if they were serving the Lord, they understood that sometime, whether on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, they understood that they needed to fast. They also fasted and prayed when they sent out Paul and Barnabas. Now, Paul, who used to be Saul, he was accepted by the church. All the problems that they had of trust, because Saul all of a sudden transformed from persecuting Christians to now to being a friend of the Christians, like overnight. You know, it took people a while to really understand that this was real. He did have a transformation of heart. And so when they sent out Paul and Barnabas on a mission trip, the church in Antioch, they prayed and fasted for them. Churches in Galatia, Acts 14:21-23, every church in Galatia fasted. They took time to fast. The other reason why the churches in Galatia fasted is that whenever they were going to appoint elders, they fasted. You know, I was thinking about this with the nominating committee. We were and are in the process of nominating elders. And I said, you know, with such an important aspect of the church, we probably as a nominating committee should fast as we make those decisions. So the churches, they fasted when appointing the elders. Paul is a good example of a minister who fasted. He listed among those things that he did and he suffered for Christ, one of them was fasting. Open your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And he starts out with a question. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, he says, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times. You know that the death sentence was 40. So they gave him only 39. And this they did to him 5 times. 3 times, verse 25, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys, often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirsting, fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul didn't care about what was going on in his life. I mean, look at the list. I look at this list and I'm thinking, no, I have not been stoned by my church congregation yet. And I have not received 40 stripes minus one. I remember when I was little, my grandfather gave me 3 stripes, and they were marked in my back. But that's I don't think that counts. Never been stoned. In perils of water. I mean, one time as pastors, we went to Brookings, I think it was, and we were going to have this communion service in this big boat. So we went out, and it was stormy, and we went out, and the boat was going, and it would go up like this, and we would see the horizon, and then it would go, and we'd just see water all around. It would come back, horizon. I mean, 10 minutes of that, there were about 12 pastors feeding the fishes, and I had a pack of mints, and I think this is what saved me. I kept popping mints because I thought, you know, I didn't want to be like that, but it was terrible. Even the captain of the boat was sick. Yeah, the one that does this every day and he was sick. That's the only experience of this water stuff. But Paul went through all this, and then it says that he fasted often. And if you turn back, well, no, don't turn back. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at there, 11 verse 1. Look at what it says. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So we are kind of commanded by Paul himself to imitate him as he imitated Christ. And Paul, one of the things that he did is that he fasted. So, the very least we could say, okay, we're trying to see if Christians should fast today, if this is something still that is good for us. The very least we could say is that it is not inappropriate for a Christian to fast. Now, unless you have medical reasons, which later on in the series we will see the practical things that one could do for fasting. There are medical reasons that, you know, we recommend that maybe you should not fast. But in the Bible, we have very good reasons for us to see that fasting is something that is good for us. It is good for us. But we need to fast for the right reason. We need to fast for the right motivation. Why should Christians fast? Because today Christians fast for different reasons. Some do it solely for health reasons. Okay? Your doctor asks you, you need to fast. When you fast. Some have no choice. When you go get your blood drawn, what do they ask you to do? Fast. And most of us want to get our blood drawn when? Early in the morning, of course. You don't want to get your blood drawn at 3 in the afternoon. Why? Well, then that means I skip breakfast, I skip lunch, and then it's really late, and no, I early in the morning. As a matter of fact, 7 o'clock in the morning. Get it over with, and from there, go to Denny's or somewhere where you eat breakfast. So sometimes people just fast for health reasons. Others fast when there's a time of grief and sorrow. Others fast because they can't get out of bed because their lower back is hurting. And their wife is at work. So you lie there through breakfast, through lunch, and then kind of crawl to see if there's some crumbs on the floor. Others fast because there is a way, that it's a way of them trying to gain self-control. Sort of like this mentality, if we deny ourselves, it'll be good for us. Because hunger, being hungry, is something that happens naturally. I mean, at least to me, I don't know about you, but it's natural. I don't have to think at 12:30. I mean, speaking of 12:30, wow. Don't look back there or your clocks, okay? Cover them up. Yes, time change. Hunger is, I don't have to be thinking, okay, it's at 12 o'clock. I'm going to start getting hungry. I'm going to start thinking about, I need to be hungry. You know what? It just happens. It's a natural thing. And it's okay. But some people think, if I stop eating, that's one way of gaining self-control. But you know what? These are not the reasons why Christians should be motivated to fast. So when should a Christian fast? Well, in the Old Testament, okay, in the Old Testament, people fasted in times of war or when a king threatened to attack. When that happened, guess what the whole city did? They fasted. They fasted. In the Old Testament, people fasted when a loved one was sick. Remember David and the little boy? While the little boy was sick, for 7 days, what did he do? He fasted and prayed, humbled himself, sackcloth. When the little boy passed away, the scripture says that he rose up, he washed himself, he shaved himself, and then he worshiped God. But in the meantime, when that little boy, his boy, was sick, he fasted. People also fasted when they were seeking God's forgiveness. And we have examples of Ahab and Daniel. Both of these men, they fasted because they were seeking God's forgiveness. Do we need God's forgiveness? Yeah. Another example is when seeking God's protection, people fasted. Ezra is an example of this. People fasting. How about in the New Testament? What happened in the New Testament? Well, look at Jesus. When we are dealing with temptations, Jesus was out in the wilderness. What did he do? He was led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted, right? But what did he do out in the wilderness? He fasted. Is there a temptation that you are dealing with? Fast. What other reasons do we have? When we are serving the Lord, the church in Antioch, we read a little bit about that, they fasted. When beginning a work for the Lord, we need to fast. You know, the other ministry that we do here, and it's big, is Vacation Bible School, VBS. we're expecting children to come, and we're going to teach them about Jesus. We're going to teach them about God and His protection. Maybe, do you suppose that maybe we should be fasting so that this ministry will reach the children and they will remember what they learn when they come? In Galatia, again, when selecting elders, people fasted. And fasting should be done with prayer. Notice that the Bible says fasting and praying, not praying fast. And sometimes, honestly, that's what we do. We get our quick 15-second prayer in the morning, go to work, go to school, go get busy, and then what? Take time. Take time to pray. It's very, very important. Now, when we do fasting properly, one of the benefits is that it humbles the soul. Yeah, humbling experiences are not really fun, but we need them. We always need to realize that there's a God that is wiser, that is stronger, that knows more than we do. We need to be humble. We don't like to be humble, but we need to be humble. According to Ezra 8:21 through 23, the prayers of the humble are more likely to be heard. The prayers of the humble are more likely to be heard. Let me just, Ezra 8:21 through 23. Let me read this text that all of us know. And if you don't, write it down or mark it in your Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, okay? We need to humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn away from our wicked ways. Then, the Bible says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Humbleness. Humbleness. So if this is true, what I'm saying, then this will help us to answer the next question that needs to be answered. And the next question is, when should a Christian fast? When? And that will be the continuation next week. When should we fast? There is a sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it is the Spirit of the Lord. We all need the Holy Spirit to work in our life, especially if we are considering to be people of prayer, people that fast. Hymn number 262, there is a sweet, sweet spirit.
Let's stand up. There's a sweet, sweet.
been revived, when we shall live this place.
You know, I just pray that when we leave this place, that you are different, that we've been revived, knowing that God will answer our prayers when we humble ourselves and seek his face. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship together. Thank you for this privilege that you have given us, that we could come before your presence and worship you. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit may continue to work in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit continue to work in our lives. May he continue to guide and lead in everything that we do. And as we continue to study about fasting, but not only fasting, but the fasting that pleases you, that you may open our hearts and our minds to continue to understand, is my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.